B-Pod Studios.
Great, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Tomatoes.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Forgive me.
Hey, this is Steven Tyler, and every year during Thanksgiving week, you look like a turkey. Baby, pass the gravy. You look like a turkey. You can win a dinner with me during Thanksgiving week, thanks to WBCN and strawberries. All you got to do is bring a can of food to any Strawberries Records and Tapes location. Then we'll donate it all to the Boston Food Bank. WBCN will choose 5 winners, each with a guest, to pass the gravy, baby, and to get down and jam with the candied yams. Ow! At Michael's Waterfront Restaurant on Atlantic Avenue, the place with after-dinner shuttle service to the theater district. My, 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 my. So come on, feed the needy. And win a dinner with me, Steven Tyler. Just drop off a can of food at Strawberries today and thank you. From all of us in Aerosmith and everybody at The Rock, WBCN.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. That's right. We are less than a week away from Thanksgiving.
My, 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 my.
And the best part about that, when he's like, go pass the gravy, Dabba Lou, and they go, and then you can go to the waterfront, the only place that has transportation to the theater district.
But he finishes that up with a transportation to the theater district.
My, 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 my.
Like, because, oh, yeah. My goodness, can you believe it?
Yeah. Well, because he hasn't. He had very serious copy to read there.
Pass the gravy and get down and jam with the candied yams. You know what the great thing about that is that Steven Tyler, the script was probably just like, hey, win dinner with me, Aerosmith, just bring these boxes or whatever to the Strawberry. And he probably improvised every single second of the rest of that.
He certainly did the enunciations and things. And he there's no way they wrote, my, 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 my,
oh,
my.
No.
Pass the gravy. Get down and jam with the candied yams. Ow!
Like, there's no way somebody in the sales department wrote that.
I'm not positive about that.
Oh, come on.
I'm really not.
Get down and jam with the candied yams? That is as Steven Tyler as it gets.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't know if he knows what candy yams are.
Oh, man, he's from New Hampshire. He probably knows what candied yams are.
You think at that point of his career he was feeling it?
I would think so.
He was remembering those kinds of things?
Possibly, yeah.
You know, I'd rather be sitting all by myself on a pumpkin than be crowded on a velvet pillow.
I have no idea what that even means.
All I know is that he was in the mix studio and that he did not come down to what was once BCN. He did say our names. Erin O'Malley got him to say our names, but it just, he never came down. He had feathers in his hair.
I think this might be it. Let me see. No, that's not it. Hang on. I'll see if I can find it. He did a liner for us.
Yeah, Erin O'Malley had him do a liner, but he had feathers in his hair, and his limo was parked directly behind about 5 cars in the parking lot, including mine. So that was my introduction to Steven Tyler, who I would have loved to have met.
Oh, my God. Well, the reason that I have a picture with him because I went up and I tried to get him to come downstairs. And he was promoting American Idol at the time. So he went up there and his handler said that he couldn't come down here and do it. I mean, he was as nice as could be. I got a picture with him. But there, you know what? It's a shame. I've never seen Aerosmith live. For the millions of chances that I've had in my life, I've never seen Aerosmith live.
I did. It wasn't good.
Yeah, I have a feeling that now it just can be depressing.
When did you see him?
About 7 years ago. At the Garden. So the Garden was the first issue, probably, but it was all that, I don't want to close my eyes, like all like the...
Sure, the ballads.
Jaded, like all that, and I was like, I'm out. Yeah.
Well, I would think that, because the one thing that you do hear about those guys is that Steven Tyler and Joe Perry are still, like, they still look and sound great on stage. Like, they're not, like, they're mobile. You know, and Steven Tyler still puts on a great show, much like, you know, what's his name from the Rolling Stones does, Mick Jagger. Like, like they still have it.
They sounded like studio. They sounded just like the studio. It's just, you know, it wasn't the songs
the
you wanted.
Yeah. No. But now I think they've gotten, because they don't really have any new albums. I think they're a greatest hits band now, which they should be, because that's what you want to see when you go see Aerosmith.
Well, Joe Perry has a horse farm. If you ever watched it, I believe it was like a 2020 or something special on him, he would say, I think, or I read a book about him or something, and he was like, and then I got addicted to opiates again, but it was a prescription. Like he was, they were from a doctor.
Here is Steven Tyler, by the way, doing the liner for the show.
What's that?
I said, do you mind if I do that?
No, please.
Mix 104.1?
Yes.
Say when.
Ready.
I don't want to overload it. Big mouth. Hey, Boston! This is Steven Tyler on Mix. Mix 104.1. I'm home in Boston on Mix 104.1. Here's my new song. Check this out. It feels so good loving you. On WODS. Perfect. Right? You can do those. So you can do some edits. You got this?
Yeah, we're good.
Good.
So what's next?
Good.
You need
some pictures here?
Yeah.
Tetra and Richard are two guys who used to be on ESPN, and now we're on the Sports Hub. Mm-hmm. You just say, do your little thing, 98.5, the Sports Hub. You just say, hey, it's Steven Tyler.
You're listening to Tetra and Rich?
On 98.5.
Yeah. Hey, this is Steven Tyler, and you're listening to Tetra and Rich on 98.5, the Sports what?
The Sports Hub.
The Sports what?
Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. Hey, this is Steven Tyler, and you're listening to Teacher and Rich, Toucher. Ooh. Hey, this is Steven Tyler, and you know where to Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Thank you. Beautiful. Awesome.
All right.
I think we're going to do some pictures right here.
Okay.
Steven.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just say, Toucher.
He's so pleased with himself when he hears it.
I could make a type of sexual euphemism out of this.
I could definitely do that. Somewhere from the heavens.
Yeah, that's when I guess he was pushing. I might have had it wrong. It wasn't American Idol. He was pushing his country song, I think, at the time. Because he did a country album, remember, a couple years ago? I mean, I think it was a country album, right?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. So he did that little tour for that. I don't care. I mean, Aerosmith's one of those bands that, you know, they made such good music for, like, a period of time. Like, the stuff that they did in, like, the 70s, like, Toys in the Attic, like, they just had permission to do garbage after that. Like, there's certain bands like Metallica, if they just made, and they did for a period of about, like, 10 years, made garbage. But they had permission to, because they made Master of Puppets, they made Kill 'Em All, they made Injustice for All. You do that, you have permission to make garbage. Doesn't mean I need to pretend I like the new stuff. I don't, but I'm not going to knock you. And that's like, you know, Steven Tyler can do country, he can do kids songs, I don't care.
Yeah.
The dude made Toys in the Attic, so.
I love big ones. I know my, you know.
It's a good greatest hits. It's solid, and those are just
Pump's
like.
Pump's their best album.
Fun song. Yeah, the only thing about Pump is that, I mean, you know, a lot of those aren't written by them, and, you know,
I mean, the Medicine Man was, and then Somewhere from the Heavens, Eddie Money sitting down, gobble, gobble, gobble.
Yep. It's this time of year for gobble, him, unfortunately. Gobble, gobble. Be the first one with him not around.
Yeah, everyone have a ham and a turkey. Mm.
What was on Pump? Okay. Love in an Elevator?
Love in it. No, Pump was didn't have Love in it. Pump.
Oh, I'm looking at Pump. Okay, yeah, you like Pump was your favorite? Is that what you said?
Yeah, Pump.
Yeah, Pump had Love in an Elevator. Janie's Got a gun, which I never thought was a great song, but still, it was a hit.
It had hot wax dripping, baby. What do you say? I got a brand new record that I'm going to play. She said, not now, boy, but I did anyway.
Those are the only two hits on that album.
I think it was What It Takes, right? On that album?
Tell me what it takes to let you go.
That was, yep, that was.
That's the breakup song right there.
Yeah. Where's the Eddie Money stuff?
I got it right here somewhere.
The Eddie Money stuff is the gobble, gobble, gobble. I'm putting a lot of effort into this. Gobble, 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 I'm dead. Hey, I'm haunting you. It's Thanksgiving. Look at, oh, look at you put your hand in the turkey. It's me. I left a foot in there. Hey, hey, everybody, look at, your chicken's been defiled. It's the ghost of Eddie Money. I'm in purgatory.
Gobble, gobble, gobble. This is the money man.
I'm doing a show. Hey, gobble, gobble. Hey, Thanksgiving. All right, okay. Next, where's the check?
Sit down and have a big old meal.
That's what you do on Thanksgiving. Enjoy a meal. And I'll be at the window licking it. Oh.
It's a nutty time of the year, but hey.
It's a nutty time of your rear, but hey.
Are those cutting off?
No.
It's a nutty time.
Wear your seatbelt.
Wear your seatbelt because I'm going to be stepping in front of your car. I need that insurance check.
Oh, Eddie Money.
Gobble, gobble. You'll be finding parts of me all over.
You got kids?
They ain't mine.
I got it. This might be a longer one.
Well, happy Thanksgiving. It's so much happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's
so
oh, actually, we had him on the show. That's
yeah, we had him around Thanksgiving
that,
time.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
We had him on the show.
He loved it. There's nothing more than Dead Eddie Money loved it more than Thanksgiving.
Yep.
It was time to fantasize.
I'm actually a ham guy on Christmas.
Yeah. A hand is what I meant to say.
A hand guy just wants to eat a hand. Yeah.
Corpse.
I'm actually a corpse guy around Christmas.
Yeah, dig them up. Yum, 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 yum.
Hey, what's everybody doing Thanksgiving? Gobble, gobble, gobble. This is the money man, Eddie Money, and I'm having my favorite turkey stuffing and a big old bird with cranberry sauce and lots of gravy. Sit down and have a big old meal, huh? Right here, 97.1 The River, Hang. We love you.
You know how much time he put into that break?
And well, listen.
What am I doing in my closet with a big plastic bag?
There's silence. And then that was the worst produced show ever. Like, it would just cut. Like, the people who were running that show didn't even care. They would cut off right in the middle of him talking and go to commercial.
Hey, it's Thanksgiving. What goes with Thanksgiving? Turkey, cranberry juice.
Hey, this is the Money Man. Anybody want to tell everybody, happy Thanksgiving. It's one of my favorite holidays. Everybody have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Christmas is right around the corner. Gotta love that. We got it right here. 97.1, The River.
That's the kind of observations you only get on the Eddie Money Show.
It's Eddie Money. You know, I got a urinary tract infection. Everyone eat your cranberry. How'd you get a urinary tract infection? Well, you know, rust. I was humping rust. All right, Rich, what's coming up?
Well, the Bruins are saved by the man in net, Tuukka Rask, playing out of this world yesterday.
We will be right back.
95 Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
At 5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
Well, despite one of their worst starts of the year, the Bruins bounce back.
To Bergeron in the bumper, his shot, a pad save made by Ullmark. Not a lot of velocity on that shot. Here's Grizzlick, shoots, Ullmark the save, rebound, they score! The rebound goes to Marchand, bottom of the right wing circle. He pots his second of the night to give the Bruins a 2-1 lead. A power play goal.
Brad Marchand buries two in the Bruins' 3-2 win over the Sabres. Things couldn't have started much worse offensively, with Boston being outshot 17-4 in the first period. Just as bad as you can get. But you can always rely on the best scorer in the league to help turn things around.
Far circle now, Pasternak. His pass hit a leg back of the cage, Heinen. To the near circle, Marchand. Centers fired. Ullmark the save. Rebound. Puck bouncing around. Nice goal! That's 20 goals in 22 games for David Pasternak. A power play goal. All set up by Matt Grizzlick. 3-1 Bruins.
Yep. David Pasternak becomes the first player this season to reach 20 goals. He is on pace for 74 goals this season,
which would be good enough for eighth of all time. That is ridiculous. But as soon as the Pasta and Marchand are as good as they are, rather, they're not the reason the Bruins won last night. Nope. That would be Tuukka Rask, who was otherworldly.
Poyle can't get it out. High slot. Here's Skinner. Shoots. Last to save. Rebound. Rask is down.
Skinner picked that out of the air.
And the Bruins block the centering attempt as the horn sounds.
All right. And that is not the save that I wanted. I want this one right. Can you pull this up right here, Dan? This computer. This is the save that everyone's going to be talking about today.
Right circle. Middlestad sent it into the slot. Rask was down. Rebound fired. Did Rask make that stop? Lunged across with the right paw. What a stop that was.
Tuukka with the save of the year. From below the left circle, Buffalo's Evan Rodriguez fired the puck towards, like, the whole left side of the net was empty. So Rask is facing left, and he's got a stick on the ground. He drops his stick, dives to his right, and just grabs the puck out of the air with his right hand. Just an awesome save. 36 for Rask last night, and he was doing ridiculous stuff all night, but that's the one that you're going to be seeing on the highlight reel all day today.
Very lucky young man. He saw the puck and he threw the glove out. And listen, it was a great save, but that's one of those ones like if you're playing Little League and a ball, you're playing pitcher and a ball gets shot right at you and you go.
Yeah, you don't see saves like that often, but man, that was
a hell of a save.
That was unbelievable.
It was a great save. It was a great save, but I mean, it comes from years of playing goalie. And yeah. It comes from experience of, you know, throwing your body in that area. But I think if you asked him, he would say, oh, boy.
Yeah, he had one last year, if you remember, both hands behind his back, and somehow it didn't go into the net. This one was way better. The Tim Thomas stick save against Tampa Bay is like, but that was a great save last night. Save the game.
Here is, you talked about Tuukka Rask. You know, even he would admit, he is afterwards.
You know, I don't make highlights too often like that because, you know, I try to be in position to make saves. So, it's fun to make a save like that. But, yeah, I mean, it's just one of those instinct saves that, you know, you're kind of tracking it and then you see that you're going to do something and it hits you. So,
yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I'm not putting him down. It was a great save. But that is one of those things where you're just like, oh, hey, wow. I mean, it's great athleticism to get to that place, but when you put your glove out and it happens to land directly into your glove, you're just thinking to yourself, oh, that's nice.
Dude, it was unfair in the first period how much he was getting pelted. I mean, it was just egregiously bad by the Bruins, and I don't know why they came out so flat, but 36 saves for Rask. Even his teammates like Brad Marchand were blown away by yesterday.
Yeah, pretty excited. I mean, that's highlight save of the year. So, you know, that's why he's making the big bucks, and we got him back there to save our butt. So we're lucky to have him.
Yep, and even Bruce Cassidy agrees that the Bruins more than likely drop last night's game if it wasn't for Tuukka.
That was a Dominik Hasek save for you guys, the young people out there. He was an old goalie in the league that was very acrobatic, and that's what it was. And then I think, you know, everyone does get up and realize, you know, that we should have been scored on, really. I mean, should have. And so it does give you a boost. Big plays give you a boost, right? Saves are part of that and sure did for us.
Isn't it weird that you just expect Brad Marchand or Pasternak just at any moment, it's just going to blow? And yesterday was another one of those situations, and you saw it obviously twice with Marchand. The first one more for him. I give him more credit for the first one than the second one. But Pasternak has just been unbelievable, and here he is talking about Brad Marchand.
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, so smart, and he's been playing really well for us, and he's an unbelievable player. And, you know, I have a huge respect for him, the way he become player he is today. You know, it should be a motivation for every single young guy. You know, he work his way from the bottom line to the top line, and you know, he's one of the best players in the NHL right now. So I have a huge respect for him, and how I said, should be motivation for a lot of young kids.
I saw him on TV last night, and the first thing I thought about was how he had invited Jake DeBrusco over to his house to play that communist Monopoly game that involves horses.
Yeah, instead of money, it's horses.
It's like
who has the castle wins the game.
Monopoly? Isn't that what he calls it?
Monopoly. It's like the Monopoly. By the way, Grizzlick is a tremendous game last night.
He looked great.
And Krug's been out, and he's really stepped up. And this is going to bring up the Krug contract situation, you know, if Grizzlick can do that. But if you can get them both, they'll help you defensively and, you know, help you scoring as well.
Robel, hello.
Hello, Fred. I want to know why you are so negative about everything Boston sports. I hear it every single morning. I've heard you use the fact that the first, what, nine games of Brady wasn't bad to your advantage. I mean, was it bad for bad teams? He was playing bad teams. I've heard you use that to your advantage. And I've heard you use the other argument to your advantage as well. I just want to know why you're so negative, Fred.
So I used the Patriots' first nine games against them. And then what was the second thing you said?
And the second thing was, he has weapons. He's been scoring all these points on these teams. That when last week you said, oh, he was playing bad teams. So it doesn't make any sense. Your argument doesn't make any sense. You're just a negative person, Fred.
My arguments don't make any sense, unlike the loquacious verbiage that you just used there. You're coming at me in such a way.
Don't worry about my verbiage.
Do I need some kind of Dick Tracy ring to figure out what's going on with you?
Get a watch, not a ring.
Okay, well, sorry, watch.
Yeah, well, all I'm saying is stop being negative, Fred. It doesn't help anyone. Just enjoy what you see.
Okay.
I mean, all you said there was Rask. You didn't really.
No, I don't know. He wasn't that bad.
It didn't kind of sound like you were crapping on that save.
Oh, yeah. It was real crazy.
I mean, he didn't. Right, if you want to get technical, he left the whole right side of the net wide open.
Well, I mean, you could
but
say
he dropped the, stick
the reason it was
save.
Such a dramatic save was because he was out of position. Now, yes. If you want to put something really, truly negative on it, I think that's fair. And I think Tuukka Rask would be the first one to agree. And matter of fact, he might have even still stated it there in the clip that we played.
He did. He said that
he was out of position.
No. He said that it was look at what I found saves.
This is the worst thing, this Perry Melrose. I'm sorry. It's like this time every morning. And it's the same Perry Melrose with the same fake people behind him at the
hockey game. And they all look like they'd be big hockey fans, too. But the looks right in the demo. But the it was a look what I found. He would tell you that. There's nothing wrong with that. How many times have you watched a baseball game and you've gone, the guy went, oh, Jesus, and he caught something.
Look what I found.
Yeah, look what I found. I mean, Tuukka Rask would tell you that. I don't know why all of a sudden that saying, I don't even know what the hell that guy was talking about. First nine games?
I think he was trying to say was that the strength of schedule, you wouldn't give Brady any credit at the beginning of the season because they're playing bad teams.
Yes.
Yet when Sam Darnold over the last two games lights it up, you were giving him credit, but it was against the Redskins and the Dolphins.
And the no weapon stuff, I think you're actually, are you trying to defend Brady with the no weapon stuff?
I'm insulting Brady because I believe he has weapons. So that is an insult to Tom Brady. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. To see that, that's a little different. I don't.
And the idea that you can even compare Sam Darnold and Tom Brady, it's an argument in the favor of Sam Darnold.
Well, I would say that Manish Mehta has made that argument yesterday, saying that Darnold's the best quarterback.
And by the way, I would say that he beat our defender of the wall yesterday.
He did a good job, and I like our Patriots protector, Chris Raynham, but I think that, unfortunately,
he did not win that argument.
I have a feeling Manish gets a lot of practice.
Yes.
Chris just needs to get back and, you know, he needs to start running on the beach with Apollo Creed. Like, he needs to start, you know, running up mountains. He's got to train a little better to take on a guy who does this every single day.
Yeah.
And Manish Mehta, who argues with, you know, fans of other teams on a constant basis.
By the way, that puck hit a stick before it got to Rask. That hit a stick on the ice and took a weird. They've been showing it over and over again.
Oh, see, I didn't see that.
Yeah, it looked like it hit a stick and changed direction.
By the way, Patrice Bergeron on the show today, 9:20. Do I have that time right? 9:20. Patrice Bergeron. Good to have him back, by the way, yesterday, obviously. And he's going to be on with us. Good friend of the show, Patrice Bergeron.
We can ask him how lucky Tuukka Rask was for that save. All right, so we'll be back, Rich. What will we talk about?
All right, let's get to it. Antonio Brown stuff. It keeps getting weirder.
Indeed. Here are the headlines.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Five, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what do we got going on?
Well,
for some weird reason, probably having to do with Thanksgiving, Tom Brady did his normal Monday night interview with Jim Gray last night.
Oh, we got lucky.
Yep, and the guy who kind of knows Oprah came right out of the box with a hard-hitting question.
Tommy, you sound like you got some pep in your step. A little less frustrated than when we spoke to you on Monday night.
I hate you.
You know, I'm doing good. We've had a good couple of days of practice, and you know, the football season, part of it is dealing with lots of different emotions. And you deal with the physical part, the mental part, but the emotional part is very important as well. And I always want us to go out and play great. Sometimes when we don't, it's frustrating, but that's football season. And fortunately, we get a chance to go out there on Sunday and try to go up against one of the best teams in the NFL and find some rhythm on offense and score some points. And I think that'd make all of us pretty happy.
Oh, Brady wanted to turn the narrative.
Yeah, got a little pep in your step. Joe Murray, I noticed you got a little more pep in your step. Did you choose sativa over indica this morning?
What do you want me to do? You want me to put on knee pads? Or do you want me to put the shoulder and put on some knee pads and some elbow pads? What do you need?
Tommy, you sound like you got some pep in your step. A little less.
Yes, you do.
Oprah knows Tom. Stedman knows Tom.
Tommy, you sound like you got some pep in your step.
Friends, so why not have a dinner? So that's what that was.
He is just. How does he look in the mirror? Jim, everyone's saying that I'm negative. Can we come around? Yeah, right out with it. No problem. Sound like you got some pep in your step.
Yeah, let me change the narrative for you.
Yeah, no, hey, now, yeah, I'm super happy. I'm sorry, I was grumpy. Oh, I hate him. God, I hate Jim Gray. What else does he do for a living? I don't know.
I have no idea. Leech.
I don't know if he does boxing anymore.
Well, if you're the guy who goes in the ring after the match, I imagine.
I'll look up.
Just it's all cruise ships and fanciful vacations.
Well, the one question worth anything that Oprah's kind of friend did ask was the ongoing rumors that Antonio Brown could be a Patriot.
Tom, there's a report this evening that the Patriots have kicked some tires regarding Antonio Brown, who was with you for one game and then has not been with the team for quite some time. He issued an apology via Instagram earlier in the week to owner Robert Kraft for some of the words he said upon leaving the Patriots. Do you think there's any chance that Antonio Brown wears a Patriot uniform again this season?
I don't think those decisions obviously are up to me. You know, they're not up to me when we cut players or sign players, and I think the people in the personnel department decide those things. So my job is to play quarterback, and that's what I'm trying to do as well as I possibly can.
Okay, so Jim Gray moved on after that. However, if he truly was a journalist and not someone who more than likely has all of his questions approved by Tom Brady first, the simple follow-up would have been, do you want him on the team?
Yes.
And then after that, have you spoken to anyone in the organization about you wanting him back on the team?
Well, that would require asking him questions.
Enough
of this namby-pamby BS.
I mean, don't you think that would be the simple follow-up instead? I mean, well, I don't make those decisions. Okay, well, would you like him to be back on the team?
Yes, of course, Rich. It would be an interview. This is a public relations.
I mean, these are not out-of-bounds questions.
No. Would you like him back? No, that would be not considered a gotcha question.
Have you spoken to anyone in the organization about you wanting him back?
You know, I mean, okay, say Jim Gray and him are very good friends, and he doesn't want to even pepper him with that. You could ask him, and still, I believe, maintain your friendship.
Yes.
By saying, would you welcome him back?
Didn't we ask Danny Ainge kind of something similar yesterday? We're like, hey, is there going to be a video tribute for Isaiah? And he goes, well, I don't make this decision. Like, would you like him to have a video tribute?
Yeah, but I mean, they're not. We're not friends with Danny Ainge. He won't even come to a basketball game around middle school.
According to Mike Florio, a report yesterday said that the Patriots have, quote, kicked the tires in Antonio Brown, yet Tommy Curran posted an article yesterday saying that his two sources scoffed. How does one scoff? At the team's reported interest in Antonio, with one asking, what's changed? To that I say, well, a lot's changed. He apologized to Robert Kraft. He's spoken with the NFL once a game. It sounds like an easy follow-up. But then there's a tweet this morning from our good friend Jeff Howe of The Athletic that simply states, quote, the Patriots will not be re-signing Antonio Brown. According to a source, those rumors can be put to rest.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine Robert Kraft paying that guy money again.
There's no way. I mean, you and I have said that. And if they did, then you know what? Then it's all, anything bad that happens is on them.
Then no, he just said he insulted. I keep getting message from a guy who says, oh, it's BS. You said the Robert Kraft thing wasn't a big deal, which I don't think it was a big deal. But here you are saying that Antonio Brown making fun of him for it is a big deal. Yeah, dum-dum. They cut a guy, and then he turned around and started crapping on the owner. Whether or not I think what he did is a big deal, it is not. It's not any part of
it. Well, it also doesn't matter whether you think it's a big deal. What matters is Robert Kraft thinks it's a big deal.
Right.
And that is and you can judge that by the amount of resources and money he put into that court case down there.
And it's not even being petty, because if, like, say Antonio Brown was on the team and he made, like, a joke and then Kraft caught him, then you could go, all right, well, he's being petty. But if you cut the guy for these reasons and then he turns around and craps all over you and the organization,
yeah,
you have to have a certain amount of pride. You can't bring that guy back.
Well, this countersuit that Antonio Brown put out against the woman claiming he sexually assaulted her is pretty wild. So this was released yesterday from Antonio's lawyer. It says, quote, in his pleading, Mr. Brown categorically denies each and every allegation contained in the complaint. Additionally, Mr. Brown has provided numerous significant facts that were omitted from Taylor's complaint, including Taylor's communication to Brown revealing that Taylor was open to a romantic relationship with Brown, Taylor's travel from Memphis to South Florida 12 days after the alleged 2018 sexual assault, Taylor's arrival at Mr. Brown's residence at 2:42 a.m. on the morning of her 2018 return from South Florida, Taylor's continued communications with Mr. Brown after the alleged rape, including a copious amount of text message exchange with Mr. Brown in the hours after Taylor's engagement on May 28th, 2018. That sounds like those are the messages that incarcerated Bob yesterday alluded to that he had printed. Now, we don't know if they're the exact ones, but he said that he had heard those were being used. He said, quote, Mr. Brown is committed to his continued aggressive response to Taylor's false allegations. Not only does Mr. Brown seek to clear his name, but he also desires to make a statement that there is not an open season to extort professional athletes.
No, he's got. If he countersues, then all that's true. I hope he wins.
Well, that's going to be one to watch. Like, this is one that's going to be worth keeping an eye on. Right, it's also, I don't think, a smart thing to do if he wants to get back in the league. Right,
I don't know. I don't know.
Wait till the offseason.
If you have all that information and you have all these things that, because if all that's true, it doesn't look good for her. I mean, that they continued that kind of contact. Mm. So, I mean, if I had all that, there would be a certain... And then, you know, it affected me. I don't know. Regardless, if I didn't do it and I had all that information...
Yeah, maybe you're right.
I'd be furious.
Well, the good news, bad news for sad Tom Brady and his broken offense is that Philip Dorsett, who had been sidelined with a concussion, has been upgraded to a limited participant on yesterday's injury report. And there's speculation that he might even be able to play on Sunday. However, Mohamed Sanu remains a non-participant, and he reportedly has a high ankle sprain and is expected to be out. You see, I saw 2 to 3 weeks. Joe, you said that you heard that it could be worse than
that.
Yeah,
just a high ankle sprain is not a good injury. It's other players I've known in the past been 4 to 6 weeks.
Or you can play on it, but you're never. He won't be the same.
He won't be able to cut. He's already slow as it is.
Yeah, and he won't be able to. He won't be 100% healthy this season. Those don't go.
But it's a blow. Like, they don't have another receiver. That, like, they just put Olszewski on injured reserve. Like, there's just nobody. If someone goes down, the weapons get worse.
Well, now you're in a situation where you really have to start relying on guys like Jacoby Myers and N'Keal Harry. I mean, you have to try to figure out a way to get them involved and get them to get on the same page as Tom Brady, because that's been the issue so far.
Now you give it to Sony Michel and watch good things happen.
Well,
right.
you put a backup quarterback in there, and him and Jacoby Myers got that little thing going. Don't they have, like, a massive chemistry? Maybe they need to do that.
The only thing I can say is that what's great for the Patriots is the next four out of six games are at home. They don't lose at home. They just don't lose at home. But this is the time of year where the schedule gets tough. Cowboys, then they play Cowboys, Chiefs, Bills, and then Cowboys,
Texans.
Chiefs, yeah, Texans.
Yeah. So, I mean, no, it is a tough string of opponents.
All right, Rich, what's coming up?
Do we have a Jesse Smollett situation in the NFL?
Oh, I know what you're talking about. All right, we will be right back.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
.985 to Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, what's going on?
It was the helmet smash heard around the world. Myles Garrett, in a fit of rage, rips off Steelers quarterback Mason Rudolph's helmet last week and smashes him on the head with it, leading to an indefinite suspension for at least the rest of the season. However, during Myles Garrett's appeal hearing in front of the NFL, Garrett alleged that Mason Rudolph used a racial slur towards him, an allegation that no one had accused Rudolph of until Wednesday when Rudolph was, or Garrett rather, was in front of the NFL Appeals Board. This was reportedly in a hearing that was not meant to be made public. Afterwards, after the story had leaked, Myles Garrett made this statement, quote, I was assured that the hearing was space that afforded the opportunity to speak openly and honestly about the incident that led to my suspension. This was not meant for public dissemination, nor was it a convenient attempt to justify my actions or restore my image in the eyes of those I disappointed. I know what I heard. Whether my opponent's comment was born out of frustration or ignorance, I cannot say. But his actions do not excuse my lack of restraint in the moment, and I truly regret the impact that this has had on the league, the Browns, and our devoted fans. So earlier Tuesday, the Steelers said Rudolph had denied the accusation. Quote, Mason vehemently denies the report of being accused of using a racial slur in the incident Thursday night in Cleveland. He will not discuss this accusation any further, and focus remains on preparation for Sunday's game against the Bengals. However, on Wednesday, Mason Rudolph actually released a statement saying he didn't do anything to provoke Garrett or escalate the situation. As a matter of fact, through his attorney, he said, quote, according to ESPN and his appeal, Myles Garrett falsely asserted that Mason Rudolph uttered a racial slur toward him prior to swinging a helmet at Mason's uncovered head in a desperate attempt to mitigate his suspension. This is a lie. This false allegation was never asserted by Garrett in the aftermath of the game, never suggested prior to the hearing, and conspicuously absent in the apology published by the Browns and adopted by Garrett.
Yep.
The malicious use of this wild and unfounded allegation is an assault on Mason's integrity, which is far worse than the physical assault witnessed on Thursday. This is reckless and shameful. We will have no further comment. So since that all came out, members of both the Steelers and the Browns were asked about it, and Baker Mayfield was even surprised when he was asked by it. Said, I've heard nothing about this. Other players, matter of fact, there is not one player who was on the field at that time who was asked about it had heard anything about any kind of racial slur being used.
No, and I think you might have mentioned this off air when this was coming out, or maybe it was on air, but it was just an aside that I wonder if he said the N-word.
Yeah, I was like, what do you think someone could have said that would justify that? Is there anything someone could have said that would justify it?
Right. But then everything that you heard was Mason Rudolph tried to take his helmet off. Mason Rudolph was doing this. I guarantee you that was a closed-door meeting, and that Myles Garrett swung for the fences. And usually with the Adam Jones stuff, I'm like, you know, why would you lie? I mean, you heard what you heard. But no, I don't think that Mason Rudolph in the middle of an NFL game is yelling that out.
Give me one reason if you're Myles Garrett, you don't immediately mention that.
First of all, it wouldn't justify trying to kill a guy. But second of all, yeah, you would mention it right away. Yeah, you would say
Malice in the Palace, right? Wasn't that what Ron Artest said right away?
Yep.
That's why the fight happened.
Right.
Marcus Smart ran into his stands once and went attacked a fan. Said that was the exact reason why he did.
On top of that,
he got a soda poured on him and the guy yelled the N-word at him. Yep. That's why he went after him.
I don't know Mason Rudolph. None of us really know Mason Rudolph. But one thing I will say is that if someone were to say that word on an NFL field, that's a death wish.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, I mean, you would have to be the most brain-dead human being on the planet to say that word or whatever. They didn't specify whether it was the N-word or what, but they said a racial slur.
What the hell else would it be?
Dude, I don't know. But they're very vague about it. But either way, to say anything close to that, anything close to that on a football field, dude, you will get murdered.
Yeah, he didn't do it. He didn't say, and spare me your, what do you know? Listen, if someone said something to him like Adam Jones or any of that stuff, I got no reason not to believe him. Myles Garrett had a complete reason to try to wiggle himself out of trouble.
And he said it he didn't think anyone was going to find out about.
And by the way, you got to still be pissed after the game. So I would say this mother effer was calling me these words.
Yes.
And then if I'm the league and there's no evidence of him saying that word at all, maybe I suspend him more.
Well, I mean, see, I heard that too, but you can't prove that he didn't say it.
All right, but you're costing Mason Rudolph money.
Oh, well, think about how BS you are if you're Mason Rudolph. Now, the good news is that there's pretty much almost a universal belief that Miles Garrett is making this up.
I mean, and his team went way out of their way. I know, was it DeCastro or not DeCastro? Someone, a defensive lineman, was talking yesterday about it. And they were all standing up for him.
You mean from the Browns, or are you talking about like saying that it didn't happen?
No. The Steelers.
Oh, for Mason Rudolph. Oh, yeah.
So the Steelers. But I mean, you're costing the guy money, and there's going to be people out there that there's going to be a lot of people out there that believe it, and it's I don't think it's true.
Here's how I know that this has backfired on Myles Garrett is that when Jason Whitlock, the guy who probably plays the race card more than anybody else in sports media, doesn't believe Myles Garrett, then you're screwed. He came out yesterday, and Jason Whitlock on one of those talk show things went in there and said, dude, this guy, and he called him Jussie Smollett, which I thought was pretty funny. He goes, we've got enough of that. We don't need more people pulling a Jussie Smollett on us.
Yeah. I mean, how many untold dollars has this guy cost him? Now, I mean, because that's the kind of stink he can't get off you. Now he's a racist. And now, not only is he a racist, he's like a super dumb racist.
I mean, I don't know. He might be dumb, but I mean, you have to be brain dead.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, he's like, not only a racist, he's like one who can't control himself.
Right.
So, I saw that. It was funny because you had mentioned that the day after, and I'm... And first of all, that doesn't justify hitting a guy with no helmet
on. It doesn't, but it made
but
me
it,
think...
But it would make you more sympathetic. But yes, this is the first time I recall where an issue like this has come up where I am siding with the person who has allegedly said it, because I don't think that he did, and I agree everything with you're saying. I don't know why you wouldn't say it right after. If you were that pissed off, I don't know why you wouldn't have gone in the locker room and started screaming. Why would you not have told your teammates?
Yeah.
Why would you? And then his stupid coach sits there and goes, well,
can we get Freddie Kitchens? Can we get Freddie Kitchens' response? Because he did speak yesterday.
Yeah, he did speak, and he said, "Dur, dur, dur."
It's just like he's
big, stupid idiot.
He's wimpy from the Popeye cartoon.
Standing by my guy.
Oh, boy.
Why are you standing by him? By the time he can play again, you're not coaching that team. I mean, you might as well let it fly.
I mean, talk about a guy that has just done everything. He was about to be Defensive Player of the Year. Like Myles Garrett was having an unbelievable season, or at least he was going to be in the discussion for it. And now this is what you want to do? I mean, even before this whole like racial slur thing, you had a little bit of sympathy. Like, man, it's a violent sport. You know, no one should ever do that, and you should never do it again. But I mean, you get accused of like lying about that.
Yeah, it's not good.
No.
All right. Bert Breer is here. We will talk to him. No commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.